Yeah, go ahead and take a seat. Thank you, Tanya, for praying blessings on us today. And Leanne, Alan, and all the tech team for helping make that happen today. Wow, y'all came back. Even after last week, came back for some more words. Because, you know, that's what we started last week was a series called My Big Fat Mouth. Let's just all say it together. My Big Fat Mouth. I heard some of you say your big fat mouth, and I don't mean mine. I mean yours, okay? Got to take this personally. I hope you will, because it'll improve. It'll bless your life. See, Jesus came for many reasons. Primary reason is we were separated from God. But he himself said, I came to tell people what God's like. And then to give himself as a sacrifice so that he could build a bridge between holy God and unholy mess that we are. And I'm so grateful for that. But along the way, he said, if you live the way that I teach you to live, I will give you not only a new life because of who I am, but I will teach you how to have a better life and be better at life. So I am kind of kidding, but I'm also really, really glad that you came back for another dose of this My Big Fat Mouth, because it's going to sting a little bit more. So thanks for coming. Amen. I just want to know, have you ever had one of those stinging moments whenever you said to a woman, I'm just really talking to the guys because I don't know if this happens to the girls, but have you ever asked a woman when she's due and she's not? You would think that you would learn from things like that, but I have had that happen at least a couple of times in my life, and it's one of those times when you go, boy, I sure wish I could take back my words, because I didn't mean to hurt feelings, but there you go. I also have a friend who lost an arm in an accident when he was young, and he was unloading some stuff from his truck. And he said, I got to bring in some stuff for my truck. And I happened to be standing there wanting to be very helpful. And I said, you need a hand? And because we're friends, he did say, yep, and an arm if you got one. Does anybody else have stories like that where you go, oh, Lord. I also thought of another one I didn't even write down for this, and that is, I am never accused of being a pastor. Because people say, are you a pastor? It's like, no, I've just been sick for a long time. Apparently, y'all don't understand preacher jokes. That was a good place to laugh. I don't mind being a pastor. I feel like I'm called to it. I just don't want to look like one. I'm looking over here at another friend who's from a church family. You can always tell the preachers, especially when they're in town for a convention, because they're dressed all wrong, just wrong. Yeah, double knit suits with, you know, highlights, and the legs are too far up, and they're wearing white patent leather, and it's sad. They need some recovery. Anyway, I have tried my best to engage with people who are far from God, because I believe that that's what God's called us all to do. But I certainly have a calling on my life to try and reach people for Jesus. And sometimes the best ways to do that is in the most unlikely situations. When you're filling up your car with gas, or, you know, just chatting with people you don't really even know, but you kind of know them. I love, because this is kind of the reverse of this awkwardness, is people will not know I'm a preacher, because thankfully I don't dress like I just told you. So I'm incognito, and they're telling me about their life, and it's like, and this blankety blank thing did like this, and then like that, you know, blank thing, and then whatever, and like, and I'll have asked them what they do, and so the turnaround is like, well, what do you do for a living? And the microsecond that I pause, I'm going, what do I say? I don't know exactly. Do I soften it? Or like, well, I pastor a church down, you know, there. And there's about 3 seconds of awkward silence as I watch in their eyes that they review the last paragraph that they spoke and went, go. To which I reassure them, I say, I am not God's language police. That's not my job. I'm just saying, we all have these times in which our words really do make us feel terribly awkward. But those times when you have those, I can't believe I said that, just goes to this idea of how powerful words are, because once they're out, they don't have a cord to where you can pull them back in. They're not retractable. I know they've tried to build into our technology that you can unsend, but still, you know. I think it's cool that we're actually learning that God essentially did give us a pause button, because we're going to get back to that. But what we need is a rewind. He hasn't given us that. I just want to know if anyone's been practicing their hand signals that we learned last week, our hand motions, yes? Because let's do it together. The phrase is, quick to listen, slow to speak, which we got from James. But we'll go back into that here in a minute. But remember what we did? Because I hope you educated your friends and neighbors with all this dislike. Ready? Here we go. Quick to listen, slow to speak. I hope that's helped you. Let's do it one more time. Quick to listen, slow to speak. This is such good advice, such good guidance, even if you're not a Christ follower yet. If you listen to what this has to say and you apply it, I think it'll actually make you more aware that God is not only relevant, but he's up close, personal, wants to help. He wants to go far beyond just what he's going to do to redeem your mouth, your words. But one of the things we talked about is how we want to open up our ears. We want to open up our heart. We want to open up our hands. Because have you ever noticed when you get frustrated when other people won't stop talking so you can talk and tell them? You get... It's because that idea that we want to be heard. We want to be understood. That is true for other people too. The person that frustrates you the most, and let's go back to that, you think of someone with which you have or with whom you have a conflict. What they're doing is the same thing you're wanting to do, and they want to be heard. They want to be understood. You want to be heard and understood. That's exactly what the person who won't stop talking wants too. So what do we do about this? Do we just keep fighting? Do we develop a society in which we're just always arguing with one another? Because that seems to be the solution these days. I don't think that's the wise solution. I think James got it. And he wrote this 2,000 years ago. How do you do that without the internet? I don't know. Anyway, sorry. My big fat mouth needs to be quiet. And my ears, my big Dumbo ears, need to listen, right? Go. Here's what I really want us to focus on, and you're going, it's going so slow. Well, folks, we live at the speed of life, and we forget these things, or maybe no one's ever explained them to us. But no matter what language you speak, and isn't it beautiful that Cami and others who are developing right along with her are able to speak yet another language of ASL, that you might speak another language other than English? No matter what language you speak, words are powerful. They're very powerful. We're going to see how powerful. But I tried to come up with some ways, you know, with some additional words. How can I get myself and yourself to remember this? We underestimate how powerful our words are. I see that time and again. Told you one of the prompts of doing this series is I've heard hallway conversations. I think sometimes we speak, we don't realize that our words have such power, and we don't realize that they're landing on people with great force. We have to pay attention because words are powerful. We toss them around. I wrote this down, put it in red. We toss around our words like they are grammatical grenades. Write that down, tweet that, put that out there. That is grammatical grenades. You're like, you are such a sad, sad little man. Or here's the power of words. They're not only powerful negatively, they're powerful positively. I have one for that too. Verbal vitamins. Pour into other verbal vitamins. I stay up late at night trying to figure this stuff out. Leanne's even going, please stop right now. No, back to you and how we're all. Do you realize that all of our lives, every single one of us in this room and those who are in the larger room of Rock Springs Online, our lives have been shaped by the words. Our lives have been shaped by the words spoken to us, over us. About it, they've been shaped by the words that have been spoken about us. And we think, oh, well, that's just a childhood thing, because sticks and stones and break my bones and words will never hurt me. Two words, there's a French word for that, baloney. Yes, it applies in childhood, and we ought to teach our children to respect everyone. But when you have words that are spoken to you like, you are stupid, you are an idiot, you are worthless, or spoken over you like, yep, you're just like your mother. And it's never said in a positive manner. You're going to grow up and be just like your dad. Why aren't you more like your brother? Those are such simple words, and they're just like grenades going off. And folks, you need to know me. I'm not talking about let's all sit around, be touchy-feely, and stare at our navels, and let's all... No, what I'm saying is Jesus said kind words. He said powerful words. He said stinging words. But he never spoke destructive words to other people. You and I have been shaped by good words. I can tell you a testimony again and again and again. I did not realize how blessed I was when I was growing up. And still am. But I just didn't understand it because being an only child and the only grandchild for 16 years on one side, I was not spoiled, so just shut that down right now, okay? I know some of you went there. But I was very close to my paternal grandparents. And even at the age of 6, I can remember having a hard day at school. My grandparents happened to be in town, and my grandfather was kind of like my counselor. And he said, David, that is rough. And people ought not talk to you that way. But you cannot believe what they are saying about you. In fact, I want you to go into the bathroom right now and look in the mirror and say, my name is David Ramsey. And I wish I could remember back to when I was 6 the exact words he used. But something along the lines of, I am made by God and I'm made for God. And nobody else gets to define who I am. I thought everybody was raised that way. I got older and I realized not many people. So here, at the age of 62, I'm trying to take the verbal vitamins I was given and pour them into you. Because I will tell you, yes, your life may be a mess and you can't blame it all on somebody else, but I'm saying if you are damaged, I'm so sorry. That's painful. But I'm also here to tell you, the God I serve is the God of incredible creativity, redemption, power. And if you will, you know, I believe that this book is unlike any other and it's got stuff you need. I'm just saying, if you will get into the words of Jesus and let it saturate your soul, those words that once damaged you can actually be redeemed. I'm just here to tell you some stuff. That's not in my notes. Just, I love y'all so much. I do. But the words that were spoken to you, about you, they've shaped your childhood. They've shaped, in all likelihood, they shaped some choice about your education. They have shaped your marriages, because I also know this from having been married. And while we do live a redeemed life, there have been times we acted like unredeemed people. And don't go talking. So have you. Just, yeah. Trying to be human that's following Jesus. That's the way it is. You keep after him. The words have shaped your families. This is why, again, I'm going off on my, I'm not even on my notes. I think the power of social media is amazing. And it is amazingly destructive. And it can be, if we use it right, can be amazingly powerful to help people. But just to single out one, Facebook has given a megaphone to every single person to say whatever they want to say. And I've tried to say this through the years. Not all words and not all ideas are equal. But I see, well, I don't see because I do not get on Facebook. I just don't. It has hurt a lot of people. And if you are saying hard, difficult things and destructive things on Facebook, please stop. Please. I'm begging you. Stop. Because your words impact other people's confidence, their self-worth. The words that have been spoken to us and over us and about us have definitely even had an impact on all of us in the mirror. People with no confidence can sometimes find confidence through finding the right words. It's also interesting to me, after having lived as long as I have and watching people with great confidence to begin with, can actually lose it because of words that are spoken to them. Words can be hard to find. You ever find yourself saying that? What is the right word? Can't find them. There are words that are tough to say but need to be said. And yet, like started off, sometimes the wrong words slip out as though they're like a slippery eel. Okay? Here's some things to give consideration to and something that you may want to discuss with those you love. How did I put it? Words aren't equally weighted. Not every word weighs the same. Have you ever heard this? This study's been done on this many times, and I don't remember what the numbers are. But negative words weigh about 10 to 12 times the weight of a positive word. The negative word spoken to you is so heavy and it hits you so hard that even if someone turned right around and said, okay, you're good and you're right, you're true and you're handsome and all those, you have to say 10 to 12 of those before it even starts to balance out against the negative one. So be careful. Your words are powerful, but not all of them weigh the same. I know that negative words can crush you. I don't think you can ever be crushed by positive words. My dad used to say you can never over-encourage anybody. He said, in all my life of trying to encourage people, I've never had anybody say to me, would you please stop encouraging me? Just doesn't happen. So words aren't equally weighted. Here's another thing that goes along with that, and that is the source of the words isn't equally weighted either. Now, we don't have a large staff, but we have a part-time employee, and then we have some very, very faithful, dedicated volunteers, and I'm so grateful to all of you who serve. I also know that my words, when I walk down the hall and speak to someone who's serving either in a paid or unpaid position, my words can weigh like 100 pounds. I've come to understand that sometimes I say stuff, not necessarily off the cuff, I'm just trying to work out an idea, and people go, well, Pastor David said that. We've got to go do it. It's like, that's not what I meant. I was just trying to figure out a problem. Like, wow, that can go to your head. I try my best to keep people around me that do not allow that to happen. Because there are some people that I work with, and my words weigh like a pound and a half, I think. I'm not looking in any particular direction. I would say this, and you probably agree with me, your mother's words weigh about 500 pounds. Because, boys, isn't that the truth? Isn't it weird? You can get these guys making multi-million dollars, and they get them on camera on the sideline of an NFL. It's like, who do they say? Hey, Mom! But I also laugh and also cry a little bit. You can look at every kind of drama there is in, particularly in English and American culture. Dads, your words weigh more than anyone's. Our words weigh more than anybody else in their life. You can even ask them about that if you want to. Okay, words aren't equally weighted. Sources aren't equally weighted. And I would also say the recovery time from tough words isn't equally weighted. Because words wound. They can. But word wounds are very immediate. It only takes a moment of a tough, destructive kind of word spoken. And man, it pierces right to the heart. And the recovery time takes forever. And this is the thing. We learned about, be quick to listen, slow to speak. the recovery time is not what you think it ought to be, because no amount of words to the contrary will actually bring about immediate healing to the wound that you dealt out. I tried to put it on the screen so that we could see it. Is that, you know, we particularly whenever we're arguing with a friend or our spouse or our kids or our parents, whatever, someone real close, you realize you said the wrong thing, and then you go, "I'm sorry," and it's like inside of us, like, "Well, you're not better," and so the argument isn't quite over. So you say, "Well, I said I'm sorry." What we're actually saying to them is, so why aren't we back to where we were before I said what I said? Well, it's because the recovery of those very weighty words is still either weighing down on them or it's still piercing them, and you've got to pay attention to recovery time from ill-spoken words. I mean, another analogy of that is, and it's been a long time since this has happened, but you know, if you got, if I happen to slam your car door with your hand in it, like, oh, I'm so sorry I did that, and I open the door, it's still going to hurt. Just because I say, oh, sorry, didn't mean to do that, doesn't mean that we don't need to go to the ER and make sure that you have, you know, that your bones aren't broken. We don't think of our words that way. But that's why James tells us to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Slow to speak. Because my big fat mouth can actually turn into a weapon of mass destruction instantly. Our tongues have incredible destructive power. I would have to say that if you take all the parts of your body, your tongue is probably the most dangerous and potentially destructive part of your entire body. You can destroy people without even being in the room with them. That's how powerful your words. That's why James, who was such a straight shooter, half-brother of Jesus, didn't believe in him as the Savior until after his resurrection, but then after that, you couldn't stop him. He's got stuff to say. He shoots very straight. And he says, you've got to avoid these things because it will crash and burn your relationships. You can most certainly avoid relational regrets, but you have to apply these things. And he made it clear from the very start of his letter. He says, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, he said, this is available for everyone for free. I'm picking up in the middle of his letter. We've added chapters and verses. We're in chapter 3. Going to work through a few verses together. Y'all want to do this? You want to do it? Okay. I love what he says right here. He says, we all stumble in many ways. You go, there are times in which I feel like I could have written the Bible. Yes? Do you agree with that statement? Do you include yourself in that? Well, good, because we're a colossal collection of moral fallops. We all stumble in many ways. He's stating something that we know so that he can lure us in. He wants to give commentary to this idea, and his next statement is commentary on that. We all stumble in many ways. He says, for instance, anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, the word meaning complete. Anyone who's never at fault in what they say is perfect and complete, able to keep their whole body in check. His way of saying, if you can find a guy or a girl who can keep their mouth on track, then the rest of their body is going to follow along and things are going to be a whole lot healthier. He says to us, and I would agree with him, if you can gain control over your mouth, then you will probably keep your whole body out of trouble most of the time. I just need to see if anybody's listening to this. Has your mouth, your tongue ever gotten you into trouble? And I don't just mean you hurt somebody's feelings. Have you ever gotten into a pinch because of something you said? Okay, how is it he knows this? Because he's human. So he goes on to teach, which is what he was. He was a pastor teacher. He said in verse 3, he said, you know what? When we put bits into the mouths of horses. And I'm looking at a couple of people. You ever put a bit in a horse's mouth? I'm looking at a couple of crucial people that I know are horse people. You ever done that? Yeah. How many of you have never ridden a horse? This might be easier. Wow, this is remarkable, y'all. I'm just wanting to tell the online campus, there is not a soul, I think, that lifted their hands. We've all ridden horses. Okay, that's an amazing thing. I got to tell my little horse story. It's not a little horse story. It's a big horse. I was 12 years old. I was very small. I went to a place called Stephenville, Texas, which happens to be pretty much the cowboy capital of Texas. Could be. Anyway, the folks around there where we were helping a revival, they were into rodeo, did lots of great things. Went to a house for lunch or dinner or something, and their daughter was a championship barrel racer. And her horse, obviously, is part of that team. They said, "You want to ride this horse?" I said, "Sure." itty bitty me, because I'm not big now, but at 12, I was very small. And they put me on that horse, and off we went down the pasture. And that was a fast horse. And I held on for everything I was worth. And I also know, this is my commentary, I don't know, the horse probably way smarter than me, but way bigger than me too. That horse did not have barrels to go around, so it just ran in a straight line down the pasture toward a barbed wire fence, or as we say in Texas, a bob wire fence. And I was just getting really scared at this point, and I was going, whoa, whoa, and finally it stopped right at the fence line. And I was holding on for everything I was worth, and I did not get thrown off. So yay me, yay! There's my horse story. I do like to ride horses. But the point he's trying to make is, when you put a bit, very small, into the mouth of a horse to make them obey us, you can turn the whole animal. It's really an amazing thing. The symbiosis between human beings, very small, and this, you know, huge, massive animal. He says, okay, let me give you another one. He says, or take ships, for example. I know some people who just got back from a cruise. Big old ship. If you were to haul that thing out of the water, the rudder is very, very small compared to the entire ship. And yet he knew that even back. He says, same analogy. He says, take ships, for example. He says, although they're so large, and in their particular case, they were all sailing ships. He said, they're driven by strong winds, but they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Okay, he's saying, do you see the word picture? The word picture is small part, big influence. Okay, he's wanting us to see that a small part don't ever underestimate its power. Small part, big influence. Whether it's a rudder or it's a bridle, you go, that's very proportionally, it's very small. It's insignificant, but it has extraordinary power to change the direction and therefore the destination. And that's where he says in verse 5, he says, likewise, the tongue. It's the rudder for your life. It's the bridle for your destination. I would say the tongue is arguably the ugliest part of your body. Which I've always thought it fun whenever your parents are like, watch your mouth, like, so hard to do. Why would you want to watch your tongue? It's ugly. And thankfully, it is mostly unseen. I did some digging about the tongue. There are 8 muscles that control the tongue. And one of the most unique things about those 8 muscles is they never get tired. Things that make you go, Anyway, this is, he says, like a bridle in a horse's mouth, rudder on a ship. Tongue has this extraordinary, it's very small, but it has extraordinary influence. It has extraordinary power. He says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Yeah, it does. It controls the direction of your life, and it controls the quality of your life. He pivots on the boasts idea. Here's what he says. He says, consider this. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Okay, have to pause, time out. I was so tempted because of the way I titled this message. It only takes a spark. I was going to serenade you with Pass It On. How many of you know the song Pass It On? Okay, sing that to yourselves. It has absolutely no bearing on this message, but I wanted to sing it. And people that I work with said, you do and you die. Okay. But it does only take a spark. It only takes a match. I was so tempted to bring a box of matches today and strike them. But see, that would be playing with fire, and I shouldn't do that. Okay. But how about this? We don't have to go very far because we've seen it up close and personal living in Colorado when it's dry. But I went back and looked at what are some of the most crazy wildfires and how did they start? 2007 in California, buckwheat fire. 38,000 acres, 22 homes. Thankfully, no one died. All started by a 10-year-old boy who was playing with a box of matches. Very insignificant by contrast. Enormous destruction. Y'all getting it? The point is, something so small can be very, very powerful. There's no logical correlation. And in the same kind of way, verse 6, he says, the tongue, your tongue, my tongue, the tongue also is a fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It has the potential for so much evil. That's right. So much wrong. It also has the potential for so much good. But he says, you've got to pay attention. We'll just go down the list of everything that you go, that's evil, that hurt me, that was very destructive to my family or my friends or whatever. Every kind of evil can be initiated by the mouth. You go down the road of, if you ever lost someone to murder, murder is set in motion in almost every situation because of an argument. It started with their words. Divorce. Divorce is often initiated by what people say to one another. Wars. Many, many wars in this world have been started over over something someone said. It's so heavy. It's so powerful. But I want you to remember it. So I went. Leanne tells me I should not try to be street. I'm not good at it. But this is what the kids are saying right now, y'all. Okay. We're all born lit. Okay. Come on. I'm just paraphrasing. Every one of us is born with our pilot light lit. Everybody. And he goes on to say, it's so powerful that it corrupts the whole body. As we talked about a while ago, your mouth has gotten your whole body in trouble. That's not in question. That's because the truth is, and you cannot avoid it because you're a human being, as your words go, so go your life. If you want to change the direction of your life, change your words. See, here's the thing, what he's trying to get over. It corrupts the whole body. If your little one, your little boy, your little girl says something that they ought not to have said, and you say, well, you're going to be in timeout. You don't just put your kid's mouth in timeout. You put the whole kid in timeout. If you're a principal or an administrator in a school, you don't expel the mouth. You expel the whole student. You don't divorce the mouth. You divorce the person. He says the tongue corrupts the whole body. And he says, and it sets the whole course of one's life on fire. Wow, James, I love hanging out with you because you are such a positive kind of guy. And he would probably say, but I have to tell you the truth because this is the stuff that will get you in trouble. And if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to follow him with our whole life. I am here to tell you, I could literally burn down my whole life and my whole career right here, right now, by the words that I choose. I am not going to do it because I don't want to live that way. But I could say things. I could say things in which someone would rush to the stage and they would usher me off and they would say, we're going to pray for David, but we probably won't be seeing him again. friendships, marriages, jobs, even your future. There is a reason why whenever you say, ooh, burn, because your words burn. And many people in this room could give testimony that you have scorched. You have a scorched earth policy with your words throughout your life. And God says, there's so much better. Don't do that. But you got to pay attention to that flamethrower. And the funny thing is, because I've been in a counseling position, when people say, okay, well, I do see that my words were not what I should have said, we will defend ourselves. And what do we do it with? More words. People say, yeah, I realize that I scorched them or I burned them. But I was just kidding. Or, I was just drunk. What else did I write down? I didn't mean it. Well, then what did you say it for? I mean, I'm asking it rhetorically. I'm in the same boat. Why is this? Back to the little boy who started that fire, and you and me, how we scorch. If you start a fire accidentally, you're still responsible for the fire you started. Anyway, he says it corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire. And then he says, this is one that the preachers love. And in itself, set on fire by hell. Because it preaches good. The point of what he's saying there is, in the context and the words that he actually used in his language, hell, he's speaking of, is not as a place of torment. He's not saying it's not. He's just like, the point of it is that you want to know where those words come from? He's pointing to the source of the evil, and that is the devil himself, and it is his attributes that he uses words that way. He said, it is set on fire. It comes from the father of lies. We can't blame him. We have to take responsibility, but you need to know where it's coming from. And to which I'm asking all of you, you know, having fun yet? Because this is a really up. Woo! Can hardly wait to get to lunch to talk about this one. In which James says, oh, excuse me, you thought I was done? No, I'm not. Verse 7, he says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures, even 2,000 years ago, he said, they're being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. He's saying, not domesticated, but he's saying we can control them. They can be subdued. Most of the animal kingdom has been brought under control, even at his time, and even in our time. James is saying animals, in and of themselves, don't threaten the human race. They threaten individuals, but they do not threaten the human race. Obviously, he never saw Planet of the Apes. But verse 8, but he said, the funny thing is, no human can tame the tongue. No human is capable of taming the tongue. He doesn't say it outright, but the point is, you can't tame it, but you can guard it. Which we'll get into more next week, by the way, so don't miss part 3. We'll see if y'all are awake. Ready? Quick to listen. Slow to speak. Okay, verse 8, he goes on. It's a restless evil. It's full of deadly poison. It's volatile. It's unpredictable. Our tongues should have a warning label attached. Yep. He says it's so unpredictable. He said this is how unpredictable it is. Brothers and sisters, he says, with the tongue we praise the Lord and Father, just like we did a while ago, y'all, singing. And with it we curse human beings. We can in one moment say, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And as you get back in the car to drive away to lunch, like, why are you so stupid? He says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings. Who? Those human beings. Every human being you lock eyes with, even the ones you don't like. They've been made in God's likeness. They have the fingerprints of God all over them. He says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. He's on a roll. He says, can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? And of course, it's a rhetorical question. No. And then he says, my brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? I'll circle back around. Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. And yet, in saying what he said, James has just made a solid case that your tongue is so powerful and so amazing that it can actually praise God in 1 second and curse God's creation in the next. It's so unnatural. It is uniquely and disturbingly wrong. That's why we have a big fat mouth. It is something so terrifyingly twisted, and that is our teeny tiny little tongue. And then you're like, I'm leaning in on this. Thank you, James. What else you got? He goes, that's it. The end. Wait, what? Yeah, that's it. Because he goes on to another subject. You can read it yourself. You go, what am I supposed to do about that? And since he didn't say anything about it, I just feel tempted to go, I don't know. Good luck. No. I think the point he's trying to make here is, and it's on the screen, there is no once and for all solution. You can't sit in a service like this and listen to an oblong dud like me talk about stuff and fill in some blank and go, oh, good. Figured it all out. Done. I will never have any problem with my words ever again. It doesn't work that way. There is application. Yes, there is application. But his point as he ends is, and I don't know if you've ever had a chance to do this, to go to some of the great aquariums around the world and look at stuff, or I don't know, anybody live in Texas, whenever they had Lion Country Safari, that was fun. That's cool. You can't send your tongue to like tongue safari drive through and like we locked it up in here, go to the aquarium, go, ooh, that's cool. You can't do that. So what do you do? Because if it is powerful and is dangerous, here's what I would say. And we're building on this. And next week we will unpack a little bit more, because James isn't the only one that talked about the tongue. But let me give you three words, kind of like we did the quick to listen, slow to speak. Okay, here's some other things that you can like put on your mirror or wherever. Three different words that'll set us up for next week, but also help you apply this, help us apply this. The words are remember, surrender, and confess. Remember, surrender, and confess. The first one, remember. This is what this series is really about, is pay attention to, let's listen twice as much as we speak. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. But remember how powerful this tongue of yours is. How powerful your mouth is. Remember it. Remember that the words that you're going to speak this week will have weight. And you need to be careful how you throw that weight around. Let it sober you up. Let it be a breathtaking responsibility. Because like I said, we're all born with the pilot light lit. You have the potential for using your words for good or for evil, but you have to pre-decide. Remember. Do whatever it takes to remember. My words are very powerful. Second word, surrender. We're headed down the home stretch, and the way we're going to finish off this service in a little while has to do with this idea of surrendering. I want you to come to know Jesus Christ as your forgiver and leader. Follow him. Ask questions. Be confused for a little while. Keep coming back. Ask what Jesus is after, and you will find out that as you follow him, he's after your heart. He's after your whole life. It starts with the first step. But each time you take a step of faith, he wants you to surrender more of your life. Your relationships. Your finances. Your words. your thoughts. It doesn't happen all at once. But it is a matter of, remember, I need to keep surrendering. And it might be you have to go part by part through your whole body to say, God, I surrender this to you. And it starts with, Lord, today I can't even commit my hands to you yet. I'm just going to commit my thoughts and my tongue to you. That's what I'm going to do. And pray that. Pray that consistently so that you surrender and you begin to surrender every other part of your body. Because if this is a weapon of mass destruction, then surrender it to him. Surrender it to who Jesus said we ought to address him. He is a heavenly father, unlike any father. He is the best father. And he's so powerful. And you invite him to take guard over your mouth. And amazing things start to happen. We're going to talk about that really. That's where I'm going next week. But if you offer your, you know, my favorite verse, passage of scripture, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beg of you, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Surrender your life. Surrender your eyes. Surrender your ears, your mouth, your hands, your feet. I even put it in your notes, and it's here on the screen. Just a simple prayer saying, Heavenly Father, who loves me so much, please remind me to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And then the third word. Third word is confess. It means literally to agree with, to own it, to say the same thing as, call it what it is. In other words, when you misuse your words, don't try to explain it away or excuse it away. Own it. Own the fires that you have started with your words. Own the burns. Own the scorching sarcasm. And some hands. Cut it out. Stop with the sarcasm. You say, well, what words do I put in place? Look at God's word. What did Jesus say? Use those words instead. Remember, surrender, confess. Okay, so here it is. Your mouth can't be tamed. It cannot be tamed. But by God's grace and your cooperation with that and thoughtfulness and practice, it can be controlled. And it starts with, ready to do it with me? Quick to listen. Slow to speak. Please don't miss part three. You guys that are going to sing and play, come on up. I got a couple of notes that I want to touch base about this message on. Dads, listen to me. Our words are the hottest and they are the heaviest. And they are powerful either way. So if you can figure out a way to speak hot, heavy words of encouragement to your family, do it. Kids, and that would include all of us because we're somebody's kid. Our words are very powerful to our parents. You may not understand that yet. But teenagers, I am talking to you. Make your words matter to your mom. Make your words matter to your dad. You go, well, she's just my mom. No, she's not just your mom. She is someone made in the image of God. And she deserves your respect and your good words. Ladies, I'm letting you in on a little secret. We try to look real tough on the outside, us guys. But on the inside, we're kind of fragile. So be careful how you use your words toward the guys in your life. And men, I don't care whether you're with a woman or you're not with a woman. Honor women with your words. It's what Christ has asked us to do. And for those of you who have come from homes where you were scorched and burned because of the words, I put this on the screen. Don't repeat that cycle. Break it. figure out a way. Let's get together. Let's do this. My final thought on all of this is that this series doesn't feel super spiritual. It doesn't feel very deep theologically. But I'm here to tell you, do not underestimate its importance. Because James is teaching those of us who have roots down into Jesus Christ. He's teaching us that there better be some fruit that comes from our following Jesus. And if we're not seeing this kind of fruit, we might ought to check whether our roots are in the right thing. This is very much everyday kind of stuff, and it matters. But to link it back to stuff I've taught you before, church, this is an opportunity for us to step up in faith and let our faith intersect God's faithfulness. Because if you do this and you see him work in his faithfulness, that is how you grow and become more like Jesus Christ in character. So that's what this last song is about. You know that I often pause and we pray. I'll pray for us and all that. What we're about to do right now is I just want you to stay seated. We're going to sing a prayer song to you. If it starts to resonate with you, you're welcome to sing. But the whole point of it is we want to honor God by saying, surrender, I surrender, I surrender, I surrender. And then after that song's done, I'll greet you one more time and we're out of here. Please take what we had to offer you today and let's do some amazing things with it. So, y'all ready to sing?